Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of the game. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Lisa Marie Latino. We're waiting on Nico Riesco. How are you, Lisa?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. No music today. I noticed when I loaded the switchboard, no intro music. Oh, well.
That threw me off a little bit, too, but it's all good. You got to roll with the punches.
Got to roll with it. I guess in the new year, maybe we'll pick some new intro music, but I figure we'll talk about some of the big free agent signings.
I was just getting out of the gym, and I went into my car and realized music will be blasting, so I'm sorry, everybody.
Oh, it's okay. Well, it's good that you went to the gym. It's a good way to start the day.
So yeah, definitely.
We'll talk about some of these free agent signings, but I guess to get it out of the way, so this way we don't have to talk about it the rest of the show, I'll talk about the frustration of the entire Mets fan base and where they're coming from. Met fans, again, they didn't want to save money on seats if that meant the team wasn't going to spend a dime. So that was one missed part of the message that I don't think they understood that what the fan base was looking for. The Met fans didn't care about what they were paying for seats. They just cared about their team being competitive. Okay.
Exactly.
So that's the first thing. The second part is they get a new GM in Sandy Alderson. Yes, he hires all kinds of guys that haven't even been in baseball for like 9-10 years. Nobody wanted these people. I'm sorry, Terry Collins, no offense, but you haven't coached in 9 years. Nobody wants you. So he gets all his buddies, he brings them in, and he does nothing at the winter meetings. They sign DJ Carrasco, Ronnie Polino, and Boof Bonzer. And that's
that sounds
it.
More like a circus act, but go ahead.
It does. And so fans are even madder now because they expected at least some movement, some trades. If you're a new GM and you're the new sheriff in town, you should do something, and there's plenty of guys they could trade on the Mets. I mean, Met fans saw Sean Markham get traded. He's got 13 wins. He only makes 800 and something thousand a year. They didn't go for him. They saw Diane Ugly get traded. They didn't go for him. They saw Zach Greinke get traded. They didn't go for him. So they're getting pretty frustrated from that respect because it's like, okay, if you're not going to spend money, then do something else. If you're this GM with the creative genius, you know, again, he's been out of the GM business for almost a decade, and it's showing. Working in Major League Baseball's office is kind of cushy, let's face it. And so now they're in a situation where they're going to roll into spring training. I'm sure they'll invite a couple of washed-up guys or a couple of guys that haven't been picked up by any team, and they'll give them spring training tryouts so it doesn't cost them any money. And then if they turn out to be good, then maybe they'll sign them. And that's all that the Met fans have to look forward to. And maybe one pitching signing. I hear they may spend a few bucks on Chris Young, who's been hurt almost his entire career. And that's because Paul DePodesta likes him. And, you know, he's one of the Mets guys now. So he'll just tell Sandy, hey, you know, get this guy because I liked him 4 years ago. Even though, you know, he's pretty much not proven himself.
Well, speaking of 4 years ago, I mean, you know, wasn't it then when the Mets were in the NLCS in 2006? So
yeah,
maybe
it doesn't even.
No, but maybe, I mean, just maybe, you know, it's no secret that this team has been grossly underperforming for the past few years. And maybe Sandy feels that the new coaches that he's brought on will now get the best out of that team and they will get back to that promised land, because that was the whole thing. It's not like the Mets weren't going out and spending money and getting free agents. It's not like they didn't have the talent. It just wouldn't come together at all. And, you know, maybe it came together at the wrong time, but it certainly fell apart at the wrong time. So
yeah.
Maybe that's the mentality going in. Who know? I don't know.
It,
I don't know. Because it is shocking how quiet they have been, all things aside. So I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of, either that or they really did lose a crap load of money in that, you know, Bernie Madoff scheme. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, I think they did, and they still don't really want to cop to it. I got very mad. I posted on Facebook the other day when I heard Larry King on Major League Baseball's network the MLB Network, basically saying that, well, he and Freddie and Sandy Koufax, you know, they all went to high school together. Meanwhile, Sandy Koufax says he barely knows Larry King, so that's always a big joke, too. But anyhow, how Larry King loves going to Citi Field because it reminds him of the Dodgers because he's a Dodger fan. And he even said, you know, Citi Field's really about the Dodgers. And how Fred Wilpon was actually a major league quality pitcher, hurt his arm, but used to pitch batting practice for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And you see, all those things get Met fans mad because basically what Fred Wilpon has done now is tarnish the Met legacy and try to insert his own childhood and his own dreams into the Mets via the Dodgers, and Met fans hate that. So
what does that have to do with having a bad product on the field year in and year out?
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with the bad product, but that means what that has cut down on is the actual fun you could have at a game if the team's not very good. And so they really haven't given you enough reasons as a Met fan to come out to that ballpark just because you're a Met fan and it's a great place because this should be like, you know, the Met Shangri-La place. Like if you're a Met fan, you should want to go there because there's a lot of things on display and there's not. So I think that's the part. So I think it all started to slope downhill with the beginning of that. And I think that's what started it. And I think that's where we are now because they tried to turn into something they're not. So as far as the product on the field, yeah, you know what? I just say this. If you don't do anything and you tell Oliver Perez and you tell Luis Castillo that you have a chance to make the team, well, I think that's the worst thing you can do. I think they should have cut them loose a long time ago. We'll get off that subject. Let me ask you about the Cliff Lee signing, what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I guess it was a day that doesn't really occur too often where both Mets and Yankee fans were sharing in their grief, huh?
No, that's true. It never occurs.
I mean, you know, we just wanted him just to compliment CeCe and head up our rotation for the next 7 years. But we don't have to ever face him unless it's, you know, interleague play and or the World Series. But he's going to be in your division for the next 5 years. I mean, you have to believe that the Phillies are going to win every single year because how can they not, barring major injuries to that staff?
Right. And so were you kind of shocked like everybody else? I was a little surprised that he went back to the Phillies.
No, you know what, though? In all honesty, I wasn't. I really wasn't shocked because the Yankees threw him stupid money, just like stupid money. And,
right.
You know, I wouldn't turn it down. Would you turn it down? Absolutely not. And the fact that he was hemming and hawing over what should he do, you know, that just showed me that, you know, his heart wasn't into it. And you know what? Good. Let him go to Philly, you know? I mean, it's a free country. He can do whatever he wants. I just don't like people saying, oh, we respect him for – no, he's getting more per year, just less amount of years. So
right.
Let's not, you know, anoint him a saint here for taking, you know
– Yeah, he's still making over $20 million a year. He didn't take chicken feed.
No. So, like, enough of that. I don't want to hear about that. You know, they said that his son had cancer. There's a really good children's hospital there, so maybe that played into a factor.
Maybe.
But really, he just wanted to go back to Philly. I mean, I guess, liked it. I can't begrudge him for that, you know?
Nope.
But I'd rather have people that want to pitch here because they want to. Because there's been a lot of players throughout the recent history of the Yankees that have just come here just for the money, like the Randy Johnsons and the Kevin Browns of the world. So, you know, it's better off. Everything happens for a reason, as cliche as that sounds. So he's there for a reason. Maybe it's to torture you guys even more. I don't know. But, you know, the Yankees will be okay.
Yeah, they'll be okay, and a lot of what you said is exactly true, and actually, let's face it, Cliff Lee just used the Yankees to bargain his price up. That's it, like everybody else does.
You know? Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Everybody
see,
does
now
it.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, everybody does it when they're in trade talks. They want to get the Yankees interested because they know they can drive up the price.
Yeah, no, and it's a great strategy. You know, his agent is very smart. But now the question is, what do the Yankees do? They're not going to go after King Felix. Is Pettit going to retire? You know, there's a lot of question marks. So if Pettit retires, I mean, you kind of are in a little bit of a hole because, all right, you have CeCe, you have crazy Burnett, which I want nothing to do with anymore. But, I mean, you know, no one's going to take his loaded deal. So, I mean, we are, you know, we do have a few question marks going into this season now that that fell apart because that was the Yankees' plan all along. But, you know, at the same time, like, the Yankees had to know that he had reservations about them, right?
Yeah, no question.
So, I mean, they had to have contingency plans A, B, and C, you know, that they should have been working at the same time. So, I don't know.
Well, the only thing I could think of is I would have thought they would have had interest in Zach Greinke, but I didn't see that at least materialize. I didn't hear that being talked about. So I imagine
because
they're going to...
Because the head case, too. Isn't Zach Greinke the one who plays with Tonka trucks on friggin' second base after games? I mean, that wouldn't fly in New York, so...
And that may be the reason they maybe felt like he would be a bad fit. So, yeah, you know, it's tough, but it's not like they're without a good team. They'll probably make some sort of trade, I would think, in a couple weeks when some team decides they could unload a salary before they head to spring training. And I think that's what they'll do. But it is surprising that they actually got outbid for, you know, on anybody they went for, Carl Crawford included. Moving on, I'm going to just talk about some of the good signings and bad signings, at least what I thought, and you can give me your opinion. Nico's been trying to call in, by the way, and I don't know, Blog Talk's not letting him. He said, so I can't help him. I don't know what to do on that. But at any rate, here's some good ones. This one got the Met fans mad because John Garland got signed by the Dodgers for $5 million. And I guess Met fans think, well, look, you're wasting like 12 or 13 on Oliver Perez. We'd much rather have John Garland for five. But didn't happen. So that's a good signing by the Dodgers. Bronson Arroyo, 3 years, $35 million for the Reds. Boy, it's amazing how much a marginal pitcher can make in this market, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to find even marginally good pitching these days, so...
I know. So you win double digits that you can get a salary like that. I don't think it's a good signing. I thought the Rivera signing was interesting because I don't think the Yankees had a choice. We all know he's old. We all know it could come off the tracks at any time, but it hasn't yet. So for $30 million, I would do it too because until he shows he can't pitch, you got to pay him.
Yeah, why not? I mean, he's still as dominant as ever. He's never going to get old. He's going to be pitching until he's 85.
Maybe.
At least that's what
Yankee might.
Fans hope for. Yeah, right?
He just might. A horrible signing, the Adam Dunn signing. The Adam Dunn signing is 4 years, $56
million. Wow. Russ, in my next life, I'm coming back in a boy, and I'm coming back an athlete.
I know. It's crazy.
I mean,
Adam Dunn, all he could do is hit home runs. That's it. He strikes out a lot. He's not a good fielder, so now he can't even be a DH because they use other guys on the White Sox as DHs. It's amazing. Like here's a terrible one. You want to hear a terrible signing? And I know they're going to use him as DH, but Victor Martinez, 4 years, $50 million? Really? Wow.
I don't know. You know what? I think the crop of free agents, I mean, there were only a few that were really good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who was really out there? You know, the Phillies got one, and then the Red Sox got two. I mean, and then the Yankees just re-signed Mariano and Jeter, but, you know.
Right. Which they had to do. You knew it was going to happen. No question.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Ramon Hernandez, 1 year, $3 million. I like that signing for the Reds because that's a guy who actually has upside, has a little power, decent catcher. That's one that he actually went under the radar there and didn't make a lot. I'll tell you who's mad. Edgar Renteria only got an offer for $1 million from the Giants after what he did in the World Series, and he ain't coming back.
And he's not coming back?
No, he said he's insulted. So unless they up the offer.
Russ, can you insult me with $1 million?
I wish I could. I can't.
I mean,
it's a great point. But you have to understand, I guess, in that world, I sort of understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
You know,
I know.
He was really pivotal. But you're right.
Yeah.
Yes, we all would love to be insulted for $1 million and say,
No, well, I mean, it's competitive in that way, too. Just like, you know, in regular America, you know, people are competing for $50,000 salaries, you know. In that arena,
yeah.
I mean, you're competing for, you know. So it's all ridiculous. It's got to swing the other way. I don't know when, but it's got to swing around the other way sometime soon.
Now, here's a signing that made everybody mad. And I want to make sure it's the same guy, because sometimes with ball players, you can get names mixed up. And let's see. Yeah, okay. So you remember Takahashi, who used to pitch for the Mets?
Yes.
Okay. So he got signed by the Angels, 2 years, $8 million. Now that got Met fans mad. When
sorry, Russ. I just
walked
okay. in. Go ahead.
Yeah. That got Met fans mad because this is a guy that turned out to be really good as a bullpen guy, pretty good even as an emergency closer. They just let him go. And the same with Pedro Feliciano. So now the Mets really have no bullpen because those were the two guys that really helped in that bullpen, and now they're both gone. And I think actually, even though we said the Yankees didn't do much, I thought the Feliciano signing was a smart one for them.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. You know, my whole thing is just we have to get that rotation in order. You know, that's
well, I think Pettit will come back. I'm pretty sure Pettit's
so?
Coming back. Yeah, well, I would be very surprised at this point if he doesn't come back. So I think he is coming back. I think he's just taking his time. He's not doing a Brett Favre, but I think he's really thinking it over. But I think when push comes to shove, he's going to come back. And I think your rotation will be okay. I think the Red Sox got better, but I still kind of question the Red Sox starting staff because they still have some big question marks on it. So I think right now, look, Yankees, and if Matt Garza really gets out of Tampa, you know, Tampa's going to be weakened too.
Yeah.
Keep hearing. So those things will be interesting to watch. But let me ask you about this, because ever since the Cliff Lee signing, people in this area have been insane. Like, look how we're one-upping the Yankees, and now it's like since the Giant game. Sorry to bring that up. Now
oh,
we're
please.
One-upping. Now we're one-upping
I think I
New York.
I threw up my breakfast when you said mentioned that. I'm still
sorry.
Sick to my stomach. No,
right.
No, it's fine. Just I've never seen anything. I wasn't alive in the 70s, obviously. So
yeah, I watched that game in the 70s. I was younger. And
Which was worse?
This was worse, I think. Even though the Pisarcik one was really bad, I think you could just chalk that up to just one idiotic play. And this game was like a whole half of idiotic play. So, because I don't think it was just the punt, obviously. So I think you have to go and look at that
no.
and say, that's the worst half the Giants have ever played in their entire career, you know. History of the franchise.
And also, in the 70s, the Giants were awful. They were
right.
playing for nothing. I mean, on Sunday they
right.
were playing for the division, and they had the division one. But, you know,
right.
I've learned with that football team, it's not over until it's absolutely over, even in the Super Bowl.
True.
30 seconds left and Brady was in there. I mean,
yep.
you know, my breath, I was still holding my breath because it's the Giants. This is what they do, you
it
know?
It is. It is. Well,
it's
so here's the thing.
It's a very weird franchise. It's a very, just really quickly, it's because Jet fans, you know, they just haven't had any luck in general. The Giants, I mean, they have been a successful franchise, but with their successes
yep.
comes a price.
mm-hmm.
They've had just as many failures. It's a roller coaster ride with them, but it's
it
a
is.
Fun one. It's a fun one. But
it's
anyway,
a roller coaster
off topic.
Ride. No, it's okay, but to get back on topic, so the point is, people in Philly now, not everybody, but mainly Philly's fans, and that's we're getting to the baseball part of this, seem to think that now we've pulled the wool over New York's eyes and they have the best of New York. And I'm thinking, well, you still only have the one World Series. You lost to the Yankees in the World Series. Just exactly where do you have the edge? Because you picked up a free agent that the Yankees couldn't get and because you've beaten the Mets the last couple of years? Like, I don't understand where the mentality is coming from with that. It's like they have the one World Series. That's what they have.
Well, that's why their fan base is the most obnoxious and probably the most hated out of all the fan bases because of that mentality. And you know, you still got to play the game. You want to know something? You guys have Cliff Lee. Memory serves me correctly. In 2009, we beat Cliff Lee.
Right.
So, I mean, right. That's why you play the game, That's why nothing is ever a given until the game is over. So, who knows? Cliff Lee could be out with the year with the rotator cuff injury,
Yep.
They may lose two other guys. And then that's it. And then they're done. So
I agree. And I'll even go so far as to say one thing that's really obnoxious, and I'm not going to lump in the other Philly teams because I think this is the Phillies only that do this, and it's very Bush League. They have had a banner up ever since Roy Halladay won the Cy Young, and it's still up. It's this humongous picture in front of the ballpark. And I'm thinking, for all the Yankees that have won Cy Youngs, and I know a bunch of Mets have won Cy Youngs, Seaver, including Doc Gooden, all those guys, they've never done it for more than like a day. Hey, congrats to that guy. This has been up for months, and it continues to be up. And I'm thinking, really? That's pretty bushly.
But your shock is actually shocking.
I guess, but I'm just thinking, you are a better franchise now. You are a better team. Start acting like it. Act like you belong there. So that's the part that I think will also fuel other teams, fuel other fan bases, for like what you said, to not like Phillies fans because, now that they are this good team, and they're not going to be a great team for long because their core is getting older. So they have a window. Now they have this window, and you'll see what they do. But you're right. You still have to play these games, and it's not a guarantee. And they think it's a guarantee. And I think that's the part that really
– But, Russ, let them. Let them.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah,
let them. Who cares? Let them
yeah,
beat them.
I think ultimately that's the way.
Themselves.
Yeah, because I think this year now they'll come in the overwhelming favorite, and then they'll realize – the pressure of coming in the overwhelming favorite because the year that they came back, the overwhelming favorite from winning the World Series, they lost to the Yankees, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all of a sudden, national pressure. So, yeah, you have a good point. But as far as Major League Baseball goes, in another year or so, Bud Selig's going to be gone. There's going to be a new commissioner. And I kind of hope that this new commissioner, and I know you're going to hate this being a Yankee fan, but I think at this point, really needs to bring in a salary cap. I think the salaries have reached the point of absurdity that in a couple of years, if the economy turns around, then maybe there won't be an issue. But if the economy just starts slowly turning around, teams are going to be hurting. I mean, hurting for fans this year.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, Yankees aside, I don't think any of these players deserve what they're making, Like we were saying earlier, and Boltley was $1 million, Any working-class American citizen would be happy with that. No, I agree. In all sports, though, the pendulum has to swing the other way because it just can't keep up at this pace. But, I don't know how you go about doing that without pissing a lot of people off.
Well, I think if they put in a similar cap to what the NHL has, a much higher price, but not what the NBA has because the NBA one's bad because they end up trading bad players for bad players just to get rid of contracts. But if the NHL one seems to be working, and this way it gets the bottom dwellers to a point where they have to spend the base amount, and it gives the top dogs a ceiling to where they can't spend any more. Because I'm looking at Carl Crawford's 7 years, $142 million, and if I'm the Yankees, I'm laughing at the Red Sox. I mean, Carl Crawford is a nice player, He is not a $142 million player. He's just not even close to that. And I'll give you an example. If you want to look at it historically and say, oh, well, Russ, he was the best free agent on the market, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Carl Crawford, his lifetime average is 296. Not 320, not 330. So he doesn't even have like a 300 average. Okay. He has, 409 steals. A nice amount. I mean, but last year he had 47, the year before he had 60, the year before he had 25. So he's not even like a guaranteed 60 steals a year. Okay? He hit 10 homers. He had 19 homers. And he had 15 the year before. So to me, that's his high watermark. He's never going to get more than that. Last year he had 90 RBIs. I don't think he's going to do any better than that. Yeah, he gets 600 at bats, and yeah, he gets 110 runs scored. But these are good numbers. They're not great numbers. And I'm looking at historically on on Baseball Reference here, and I'm just going to look and see who they compare him to all time and see if I can find that, because it's just one of those things where this guy's not even dominating the game. Okay, so most similar by age. For number one, they have Roberto Clemente, and I would laugh at that because – oh, here we go. Here we go. Viewer similar – because Roberto Clemente, it said through 28. I don't know. Oh, through the age of 28. But, of course, Clemente, you know, he didn't live that long.
Yeah.
And he actually – his numbers eclipsed Carl Crawford. But here's one, Roberto Kelly. Okay. Here's another one, Ralph Garr, which is a guy that I used to watch in the 70s with the A's. Now, these guys are more like what this player is, and he might be a little better than that, but he's certainly lesser than a Roberto Clemente, and he's making that kind of money. And it's like, so to me, the Yankees did the smart thing. Even Johnny Damon's name comes up, and I can't even say Crawford's better than Johnny Damon. Could you?
Well, at this point, probably, yeah.
Oh, no, at this point, but I'm just saying at his height. Let's say you take last year's year or even the year before his year when Crawford was an all-star. Was that better than Johnny Damon's best years? I don't think so.
No.
No. So.
Well, they bid. I think maybe they bid against themselves, too.
They did. There's no question they did. And that's what I'm saying. Some of these contracts, you know, even the great Cliff Lee. If I can get back to Baseball Reference, I'll pop in Cliff Lee's name and tell you who they compare him to all time. Because, again, Cliff Lee's a late bloomer. He's never going to be a Hall of Famer. He's having a nice career now, and his last few years have been really terrific, and he's been the best pitcher in baseball for a couple of years for sure. But he's only got 102 career wins. I mean, that's the reality. He's, you know, he's never going to be more than – he's never even going to win 200 games. So, like, for a guy making all this money, he's making it at the right time. But here are the names that come up. Denny Nagel, Mark Mulder, Teddy Higuera, even Justin Verlander. So it just – it kind of shows you that he's not a superstar.
No.
He's just a guy who's pitched well lately, last couple of years, and he's been lights out for those few years. But he's not a superstar. And again, he's now making superstar money. And it's kind of interesting because he has a great winning percentage. He's 102-61. His lifetime ERA is 3.85. I mean, doesn't knock my socks off.
No, but he's going to knock a lot of socks off the next 5 years. But again, we'll see. We'll see how
that. If he lasts 5 years, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, we're assuming that he might live out this contract, but he'll be 36. He's had injury problems before in his career, so we don't know. I mean, maybe he'll make it that long. He's been throwing 200 innings since 2008, so we don't know what kind of toll that's going to take.
Yeah,
so
no,
maybe.
That's true.
You know, but I'm just saying, all-time historical, whatever. This guy, just to put it in perspective, in 2007 he made $3 million.
So you're thinking as fast as he rose to the top, or, you know, he was a late bloomer, so as late as he bloomed, that could be taken away from him too at any time?
Sure. I mean, I'm just thinking at some point within that contract, he's not going to be as great as he will be this year.
Well,
and I think
again,
it's law of averages.
Yeah, well, how old is he now? 30?
31.
30. I was going to say 32. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it just remains to be seen. Who knows? But as of right now, it's obviously a great signing for Philly. But, you know, they're going to beat themselves. Because I see it with their football team. They beat themselves. What have they won? Nothing.
Right.
So
that's true.
You know?
It's very true. And that's why... And that's how we'll close out this show. We'll close out the new year, and I want to wish you and yours happy holidays. And Nico, too. Sorry, Nico. Sorry you couldn't get in.
Yeah, sorry, Nico. Merry Christmas.
But it's
just... Russ. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it goes to show you said the most important thing that was said this whole show was you got to wait till the season starts, and you got to prove it on the field. And that's really the way it is.
Yeah. Yes, and Derek's not wearing another uniform. Mariano's not wearing another uniform. So Merry Christmas to me. Russ, have a Happy New Year. I hope for big things in 2011 for all of us.
Thanks, Lisa. Same here. And that's it for the game, and we'll catch everybody next time. Okay, see you, Lisa. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Russ. Bye.
All right, bye.